So we are going to talk real quick because I feel like I want to make sure that you guys still get out on time. So I'll do my best. Often I talk fast anyway, so this should be fine. We're starting a new sermon series, and so this is the first one in this series. And the series as a whole is called Live on Purpose, okay? And so that's what the goal of this for. I want to look at different areas where each of us may find ourselves in and really talk about what Scripture talks about so that we can live purposefully in each stage of those lives and in each section of our lives, right? And so I know that I've been out of the dating game for a little while, and I am thankful for that. However, it wasn't that long ago, okay? I'm not that ancient, and I do remember the dating process. The good thing is I guess, I don't know if it's good or bad, but you can decide, but I know what it feels like to be shot down right to your face, and so there's almost nothing better, right? But dating today feels like maybe it's hard to navigate. I've heard about, swipe culture, and actually that's kind of the title of today's message. When we talk about dating or courtship, I want to tell you it's more than just a swipe. See, our culture tells us, follow your heart. Our culture tells us, swipe right or swipe left, right? Our culture tells us, test the waters or do what feels good and try it before you buy it or any of those kind of things, right? Our culture today basically makes it sound like waiting for marriage is prudish, it's old-fashioned and all of those things. But God's Word paints a very different picture for us. God's Word paints a picture not of confusion, but one of clarity, not one of chaos, but one of purpose. And so I don't know if you're here today because you're in a dating relationship. I don't know if you know somebody who's in a dating relationship. I hope that that covers everybody, right? That you have someone in your life who this message could be of wisdom for. And so even if it's not for you directly, then hold on to it and share it with somebody who you might know who's in this section of life for whatever reason. We need to understand that dating or courtship isn't just a social experiment. It is actually part of a spiritual journey. I think it's important as Christians we remember that. So, whether you're single or dating, whether you're raising someone who is, this message is for you. So, I want to clear the fog and talk about God's design for dating. So, let's pray. And then we're going to do that. Now, here's a warning that I have for you. Because this is a topic series, we're going to be all over the Bible. So if you're one who brings your sword with you, and you like to flip to the different pages as we're going, good luck, especially today, because I'm going to be going fast. But I would also recommend to you to grab a set of notes on your way out, if you don't have a set of notes now. And also, just remember that if this is something that you feel either spoke to you or will speak to somebody else, you can always find these messages on our website, assuming that they get recorded okay. All right, so enough of all that. Let's pray, and we'll jump into what I believe God teaches us on dating and courtship. God, our Father in heaven, we thank you that your word speaks to all kinds of things. And so we go to you now for wisdom and for discernment. We ask that you, by your word, would show us the standard that you have for us. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us a playbook by which we can live our lives, and you invite us to come to it, to seek you and to find. And so, God, I would pray that you would help me to be clear this morning, that you would help us to apply your word this morning, that you would be blessed by the reading and application by your people, and that you would be glorified in all of our relationships. It's in your name we do pray, and everybody said, amen. All right, so the first point that I have, if you're a note taker, is this: seek God first. I don't know if this is a surprise to you or not, but a lot of times I think during dating relationships, we tend to forget what the main thing is, right? And in all relationships, in all walks of life, and so I guess this could be the first point for every single sermon I have during this series. It probably won't be. That would be redundant, right? But for this specifically, seek God first. I have in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So, Pastor, are you telling me that if I seek God, I'm going to be guaranteed a spouse? That's not what I said. But what Scripture tells us is that there are some things that are just simply more important than other things. And maybe you're in a phase of life where you find, well, I just said, extremely hard to believe. But I'm here to tell you, this is still the case. God's word is true. Let everybody else be found to be a liar. OK? okay? So before worrying about finding the right one, which, by the way, soulmates and the right one is just fairy tale nonsense, okay? No matter who it is that you end up being with, if you are called to married life, and some of you are going to be called to singleness, and that's okay too, but if you are called to married life, no matter what, the person that you find is not perfect. And if you don't believe that, you need to get out more. And so it doesn't matter the kind of marriage that you have, there will be disagreements. Even with the best marriages, there will be things that you guys don't get along on. So before worrying about finding the right one, you need to be focused on becoming the kind of person that God wants you to be. Your love life, believe it or not, starts with Jesus. Did you realize that? You cannot love someone else unless you love Jesus, unless you know the love of Jesus. Because if you don't know Jesus' love, then you don't know what love is, and then how can you truly love somebody else? And how can you love somebody else how they were designed to be loved in this kind of a relationship if you don't know the head of all things and the one who gave his life for you? C.S. Lewis says this, "When I have learned to love God better than my earthly dearest, I shall love my earthly dearest better than I do now." And that's absolutely true. 1 John 4, 7 and 8 tells us, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." So you see, when I say that we must first love Jesus, we must first understand that he loves us, and what that means for us to understand and apply love into any kind of other relationship. So when your heart is fixed on Christ, your relationships will begin to reflect his priorities. Once you're seeking God above all other things, then you're finally ready to consider what dating is really for. You're able to understand that it's not for games or for emotional feeling, but it's something for far, far greater, which brings me to the next point. Date to marry, or court to marry. I don't really even like using the terminology of dating because, quite frankly, when I was dating, that was far different than when I was courting my wife. Before I was a Christian, I would date, and that's what I think the world would call that. And when I became saved and I understood what marriage was for, I understood what these kind of relationships were for, then I courted my wife, and that was very, very different. That's semantics, I get that, but if you have questions about what that might mean, I guess you can ask me later. But when I say date to marry, I get that from scriptures like this, Genesis 2, 24, which says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." It doesn't say when a man gets old enough, then he's going to leave the house and he's going to play the field and then eventually settle down. That's not what it says. This should be a purposeful engagement, and I don't mean that, I guess that's a play on words. Well, what I mean is you should be pursuing a goal, and the goal isn't just a woman in general, it is a wife. And likewise, women, you should be pursuing a husband, not just a boyfriend, right? It is not for recreation, it is not for experimentation, it is not for personal validation. That's one of the biggest things, I think, when we neglect number one and we're not seeking God first, we don't know our own identity, and then therefore when we get in a relationship, we're seeking to find our identity in the other person. They become who, they tell us who we are when really God has already told us who we are. And if you understand who you are in Christ, then it really doesn't matter who the other person says that you are. Not only that, but who you are in Christ, then you can be who you're supposed to be for that person. And so dating is for the purpose of discerning if this person could be your spouse. This may be very, robotic to you. But you, if you're single, you ought to have a checklist. And I'm not joking. You ought to sit down sometime, especially if you're not in a relationship. That's the time to do this, okay? You ought to have a checklist. And then you ought to measure folks against that checklist. 1 Corinthians 7:9 tells us, "If we cannot exercise self-control, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion." It's okay to have physical intimacy be a part of a driving factor, it's not okay for that to be the main factor. Men, your boxes need to be more than just one box, okay? You have to have a list of why it is this woman would make a good wife, not just the one thing that, that you hope for, right? And women, same thing, right? They have to be more than just good providers or good looking. And some of us, if we're honest, you know, we're struggling to fill in one of those boxes ourselves anyway, right? So I'm glad Elisa didn't marry me for my looks or for my money. She'd be discouraged. But dating without the intent of marriage is like going to the grocery store with no money. You either leave disappointed or you take something that's not yours. Does that make sense? And so what we need to remember is that when you're courting people, when you're discerning if they're going to be your spouse, if they're not your spouse, guess what they are? Someone else's. And so you need to treat them in such a way as always understanding that this could be somebody else's wife or somebody else's husband. So how would you want somebody to treat your wife or your husband? So if the goal of dating is marriage, then what we need to be asking is, what kind of person are you moving toward, right? What should your standards be? What kind of person are you becoming? And so chemistry may spark the fire, but there's something else that keeps it burning, and that's, of course, number three, character over chemistry. Now, I would be absolutely lying to you if I said the first, I'd be lying to you, how should I say this? Whatever. The first thing I noticed about Elisa was, wow, okay? Like, I'd be lying if I told you anything else, okay? I distinctly remember playing volleyball at Kevin Little's house during the rest of the college group as she walked up in her yellow sundress, and I was like, I wonder what her name is, okay? However, because I was saved out of the lifestyle that I was saved out of, I understood that people are able to go to church and still not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so the way that I began, believe it or not, you know what my pickup lines were? Hey, can I tell you my testimony? And then I shared with a group of people, she was one of them, around a fire. I just shared with them what God was doing in my life. And then I would ask them if they know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Because remember what I said is, you should have checkboxes. You should have standards. And I think if you're a Christian, the first checkbox is, are they saved? Do they have a personal relationship with Jesus? Now, I'm going to say something that might sound offensive to my wife, but it's straight from the Bible. I didn't write it. And by the way, it goes for all of us, not just her. It says, charm is deceitful. Ouch. Beauty is vain. And here's the part that I know is absolutely true, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. You see, what this scripture is telling us is this. You may not have gray hair yet, but you're going to get it. You may not have wrinkles in certain places yet, but you're going to get it. And maybe some of us do, right? I'm beginning to get more hair in some areas and less in others, and that's just part of life. I think that's just how it goes. And so, you know, I'm softer than I was before, and even though I don't want to be. And so the fact of it is you are going to be married to someone for the long haul, I hope. And so when we say things like in sickness and in health, do we mean it? When we say things for better or for worse, do we mean that? And also, are we developing a character that is attractive for the long haul? See, the world says follow your heart, but God says guard your heart. Godly character must be viewed and pursued over surface level attractions. Galatians says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So I'm not saying you have to do this, but I think it would be wise for you to have these categories on your checklist. And you can fill them in with things, right? So the fruit of the Spirit is love. So what does that mean for you on your checklist? The fruit of the Spirit is joy. Is this person generally upbeat, or are they always Eeyoring your life down? Okay? Do they have joy, or are they tossed by the waves of this world, or do they find their joy in Jesus? Are they peaceable? Are they patient? You know? Do they have kindness and goodness? Are you developing these things? Because here's the other issue. If these things go on your checklist, I hope you realize you're required to have them as well. Just understand that. This isn't a one-way street here. Vodi Bakum says this, "I want my daughter to marry a man who understands that marriage is not about his happiness, it's about God's glory." And I would say the same thing for my sons, right? Their marriage is not primarily about them, and your marriage is not primarily about you. And maybe we have forgotten that. Your marriage is about God's glory. Your marriage, by the way, is not for the purpose of your validation or gratification. Your marriage is for the purpose of God making you more like Christ, of being an instrument for this world of Christ and of His kingdom. Ephesians talked about this. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying this counts of Christ and His church, that men and women should live in such a way in their marriage. And so we must be prioritizing character over chemistry. However, I will tell you this. This is a real conversation I actually had. Chemistry has to be there too. I'm not saying just don't worry about any chemistry, okay? I distinctly remember a conversation with my college pastor, and I was talking about somebody else, okay, we were going through this process, and I had my checklist, and I said, you know, she's meeting these criteria, but I'm not exactly attracted to her. And he said, well, that's not okay. I'm so thankful we had that conversation. So when we value character, though, we begin to honor God not just with our intentions, but with our actions. And that's where this next point comes in. You see, purity is not about rules, it's about worship. And so that's why number four is to pursue purity. When we pursue purity, we're telling God that you trust Him. Job 31:1 says, "I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze at a virgin?" Now, sometimes in the cultural context of Scripture, some things are lost on us, but let me give you the interpretation of this that I believe is accurate. What Job is saying here is he has made a promise before God that he is going to look at every single woman as if she was his sister or his mother, unless he has this intention for her. And only then will he look at her in the way that one would look at a wife. And so, men and women who are here, that's the covenant you should be making with your eyes as well. This is not just for Job. In fact, this is not just for people who are courting. This is for everybody. This is a great statement for all of us to put in place, but especially those of us who are seeking to court someone. And so, I also want to say, sexual purity is not just about virginity. Because again, if you have any kind of testimony like mine, perhaps it's too late for that. But what I can tell you is, you are new in Christ. And each day, you can come before God. You can ask for forgiveness for past sins. You can put aside past guilt and shame. And you can move forward anew and afresh with the mercies of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. So purity is not just about sexual fidelity. It's about holiness of the heart, holiness of the mind, holiness of the body. We need to set physical and emotional boundaries with one another. And by the way, I had this conversation with somebody before, like boundaries is not legalism. Boundaries are for love. Think of, for example, maybe the greatest example, we'll say it is the greatest example, of the Ten Commandments. God gave us the Ten Commandments. He said, these are the rules by which you should live your life. And God gave us those commandments, and you could look at them one of two ways. You could look at them as, well, there's just a bunch of stuff that I want to do, and He says I can't. God's being a huge bummer. You could look at it that way. But the truth of it is that God gave us those boundaries and those rules because He wants the absolute best for you. And God, in His wisdom, knows that that fence, the same fence that keeps you out of my backyard, right, keeps my kids from running into the road. We put that fence up because we love Asher and we didn't want him getting hit by a car, okay? Like, the fence is not there to keep you out. It has that effect. But the fence is there to keep our beloved children inside. And by the way, when your kids come over, to keep your beloved children inside. And so boundaries are good, and they're healthy, and they're loving. Matt Chandler says, God isn't trying to keep you from sex. He's trying to preserve it for the right time, for your good and for His glory. So, as we continue, we have to understand something, and maybe this is going to be strange to you, but I hope you understand by now that the church is a body, that we all belong to one another in Christ Jesus, and so it is important that we not walk these journeys alone. So again, if you're courting, or if you're single, or if you know somebody who's single, or if you know somebody who's courting, get involved in their business. And believe it or not, that's a good thing. Here's my next point. We're going to skip that one for now. Invite community in. Because here's the thing. Relationships make you dumb. I'm sorry, but can I get an amen from anybody else like me? Okay, does anybody else have a history like mine? Relationships make you stupid. And I've done plenty of stupid things because I was pursuing things wrongly. And by the way, I've also done stupid things because I did let people in who were also, by the way, stupid. So what you need to do is let the right kind of people in, the kind of people who love Jesus and who want the best for you. Those are the people you invite in for community, okay? Proverbs 15:22 says, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. You see, dating should happen in the context of wise counsel. Family and church community should speak into your relationships. Now, that being said, I also know people who have married somebody who I know that they are a very good and godly person, and they have somebody in the other side of the family who hates them and who they're never going to be good enough, and they're like, okay, that's unfortunate, and that happens, okay? But our church body, especially if you have older brothers and sisters in Christ who know you, who are discipling you, who care for you, invite them into your relationship. Not in any kind of weird way, but run things by them. Hey, here's my checklist. Does this seem good? What am I missing? Hey, for my own checklist, what are my weaknesses? What are some areas in my life that I need to fix before I court seriously, because I'm going to make a really terrible husband if I don't fix these things, or terrible wife if I don't fix these things? Hey, after and while we're in that process, would you be able to walk alongside us and help give us wisdom and discernment for when we have disagreements, or when we're figuring these things out, when we're making these decisions, right? So I have the privilege of doing premarriage counseling, or I like to call it premarriage discipleship, and I love that I have the ability to do that. I love it for two reasons. One, I think it's absolutely vitally important that couples go through that. So whether that's from me or somebody else, you should do that. The second thing I really enjoy is because it gives me a fresh perspective, and every single time I meet with another couple, I go home and I just love on my bride because I'm reminded how great I have it. But we need to invite community in. Avoid isolation and seek accountability. So if you're courting, it is not okay to go and watch a late night movie by yourselves. You're just playing with fire, right? And so be wise in the way that you are avoiding isolation and seeking accountability. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this, the more isolated a person is, the more destructive the power of sin over them. And so, yeah, we're talking about dating right now, and I'm talking about, you know, like, not going out to dinner or riding in the car too long by yourselves or like being alone and stuff like that. But let's just pause that sermon for a minute, and I want to come back over here, and I also want to say this. This quote from Dietrich, the more isolated a person is, the more destructive the power of sin is over them. I just want to tell you, y'all, whether you're wherever stage of life you're in, you're not meant to live in isolation. We need one another. We need accountability. We need encouragement. We need one another to continue to keep us walking with Christ. Back to your regular scheduled programming. We need people in our life that will tell us what we don't want to hear but need to hear. And tell us things that are from the Bible that we need to hear that we don't want to hear. So even with godly counsel and pure intentions, things may not move as quickly or as perfectly as you may have hoped, okay? Maybe you're here this morning and you've been waiting for a while. Maybe you're wondering, maybe you're even hurting. So this last one is for you. I want to encourage you to trust in God's timing. God's timing is never off. Here's what Lamentation says. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you... I'm sorry, this is Psalms. I have them in the wrong order. Here's what Lamentation says. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. So trust him. He sees everything that you're going through. He understands your emotions. He designed you with emotions. We don't have to just be logical Christians and then non-emotional Christians. We can marry the two. We're designed in his image, okay? But then also, Psalms, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act. Now, people, so Jared just talked about us the other day about ripping things out of context and just applying it to our lives. So this doesn't say, delight yourself in the Lord and he's going to give you the raise. Delight yourself in the Lord and he's going to give you that house on the lake. Delight yourself in the Lord and he's going to increase your bank account sevenfold. That's not what this says. Here's what it says, in my opinion, and I think contextually, put all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength in loving the Lord, and guess what? You will increase in loving the Lord. So seek the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and guess what? You're going to find the Lord. So delight yourself in the Lord, and he's going to give you the desire of your heart, which should be the Lord, okay? But then it also says, commit your way to the Lord, and trust him, and he will act. So also understand that his timing is always perfect. It might not be the day that you pray. It may not be the year that you pray. It may not be in the way that you pray, because quite frankly, y'all might be praying wrong. Maybe you're asking for something that a good, good father says, nope, if I gave you that, you'd just destroy yourself. Let me tell you an interesting fact about me and my wife, okay? I told you a little bit about my testimony. It's not going to come to any shock to you. Here's what you may not know. My wife and I worked at least three of the same places before we met each other. How crazy is that? And by the way, she lived down the road from me. I think it was like 2 miles or something. I would ride my car or my bike past her house on a regular basis when I was growing up. Do you know why we did not meet before I was a Christian? Because God is smart. And he said that his timing was perfect. Because if I would have met her beforehand, and if I would have hit on her, which I probably would have, she would have very wisely been like, no, 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 no way, Jose. And then that would have been the end of that, okay? So in his timing, he made our paths align at the perfect and right time. So I want to, if you're here this morning and you're single or you've been brokenhearted, I just want to assure you that God is faithful. Elizabeth Elliot tells us that God's timing is never off. John Piper tells us that waiting on God is not wasted time. It's preparing you for what only God sees. So just for fun, these aren't on your notes, but I have one last thing that I want to talk about before we close, okay? So perhaps you've heard this. We have comedians that talk about this, but I want to talk about red flags and green lights. Or the ick factor, right? Or whatever that is. I've been out of the game for long enough. I guess I don't know the lingo, but these are good. Okay, so if you're in these camps and there's more notes that you want to take for this morning, then this is for you. Here they are. First, red flags: lack of spiritual maturity or apathetic. Okay, I'm going to tell you something that I've seen so many times, and you're probably not going to listen to me. I really hope you do. Please, please listen to what I have to say. Now, this one's primarily for women, and I'm sorry. You're not going to fix him. Stop trying. Okay? If he doesn't want to come to church before you are dating him or whatever, he's not into that, then guess what? I don't care how beautiful you are. He ain't coming after you guys are married, probably. Okay? If he's professing non-believer, but he's like, but I'll go, he's not going to. I'm sorry. It just is the case. Okay? I've seen it so many other times. Please don't make that mistake. Men, it's easier for you, I don't know why it is, if you go to church, chances are she will come to church too. That's just how it is. But Scripture is clear that we're not supposed to be yoked with an unbeliever, and so why would you even go down that path? Again, I don't care how pretty she is or how, you know, like motherly she is, or what, or like how good of a cook, whatever your standards are, I don't know, whatever your check boxes are, like if she's not having her own walk with Jesus, then it's not right. It's just, you're not the Holy Spirit. It's not your job to bring, you know, give them a Bible from the Gideons and give them the gospel, and then that's the end of your relationship until you see something else. Women, for you too, okay? Another one is pressure for physical intimacy. So this one's, I guess, more for the men. You need to understand what your calling is in this relationship. And your calling is to love her the way Christ loves the church, and he gave himself up for her. And so for either one of you, if there is pressure for physical intimacy, then that's wrong. And then the last one that I have here is controlling behavior. Green lights, those are more fun. Let's talk about those, shall we? You probably already know what some of them are based on the red flags. They have to have a personal walk with Christ, okay? And so be discerning about this. I'm not saying that the person has to, you know, be active in seminary for you to consider a relationship with them, okay? What I'm saying is there any kind of fruit in their life? If you have a, here's some ways you can discern that, right? One, here's what I think is great. And so you may never hear another pastor say this, but I'm going to tell you this. If you're single and you're looking for somebody your age or whatever, and if they're not here at Allegan Bible Church, which I think this is your first pool of this is your first fishing pond, okay? But if you're here and you're like, hey, I'm just, you know, it's not here, then guess what? Try other churches for a while, okay? That's okay. I would rather have you meet a godly spouse than have you here all the time, okay? Like, I've had conversations with some of you about that, and I mean it, okay? That's what I did. I was like, I'm ready to get married. I want to find the godly woman, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to go to churches. I'm going to look around. And then what I would do is when I saw one that I liked, I would have my eye on them, and I'd be like, I'm going to see how often they come. Are they coming every week like I'm coming every week? Who are the other girls that they're talking to? Are the girls that they're talking to, do they strike me as godly women, that those women are also coming? Are they involved in any other things? Like, when I do the college group outside of this thing, is she there? Is she a part of that at all? Does she do any kind of service in the church? Like, what's her own walk, just total surface? And then when I talk with her, like, hey, what are you reading in God's Word lately? If she's like, what? Like, okay, well, that's a bad sign, right? So do they have a personal walk? Here's a huge one, shared spiritual convictions. This is super important. And I don't mean that you guys have to agree on every single thing, but you really ought to agree on the main things. I would recommend trying to find somebody who's in the same general, like, you can say whatever you want to say, I don't really care, whatever, like if you are a Protestant, I recommend not marrying a Catholic. There's going to be problems there, right? Over time. And so you just need to be wise with that kind of stuff. Shared spiritual convictions. Hopefully you see in them a servant's heart and then also humility and teachability. If you see a potential somebody that you want to pursue, I know I said I was going to go short and I'm going over, too bad. Here's the thing, if you see a potential for yourself and there's a time where they need to be rebuked or they need to be corrected and they handle it just really, really terribly, then just understand that when y'all are together, the same kind of attitude is going to happen, but probably also magnified, because depending on that relationship, this is just how it is. The longer you've known somebody, the longer you live with somebody, the longer, like, the more apt you are to take them for granted. And so, are they pursuing these things? So, here's some application in quick succession, right? All right, here we go. Set clear boundaries early and stick to them. If your boundary is, hey, we're not going to go to late night movie thing or whatever, then that's no exceptions. There's this song, I forget exactly how it goes, but the elf, he's singing it while the lady's in the shower, right? Baby, it's cold outside. The whole thing is about like, oh, we shouldn't be doing this. The time is wrong right now. And they're like, well, let's stay a little bit longer. It's like, no. You're both wrong. Both repent immediately. I don't care how bad it is. Call an Uber if you don't want to drive. Hey, ladies, here's the deal. If the weather's too bad for you to drive home, call your dad or call an elder of the church. We'll come pick you up. No problem, okay? My own personal rule is I won't pick you up alone. I'll have a kid in the car because I'm not riding alone with any women. Unless you're my wife. So involve godly mentors or parents in your relationship. I know that sounds gross, right? But here's the deal. Probably for most of you, nobody knows you as well as your parent, okay? So they're going to know your downfalls and your strengths, and they're going to be able to tell you if so-and-so either really is going to rub the wrong way or if they're really going to help you in those areas. Prioritize spiritual compatibility over physical attraction, because one day we're all going to get fat and old. It's going to happen, right? Don't look for the right one. Become the right one. Focus on your relationship with God. Use dating as a way to discern, not just to enjoy. All right, for parents. Parents who have people who are of dating age, okay? Yeah, here's what I'm going to tell you. Encourage your children to model Christ-like love, to talk openly about dating with them, about courtship, about temptations, and about standards, okay? Do not assume that they know anything, because they probably don't, or they at least don't know what you want for them to know. For youth who might find themselves in a position of soon to be able to date, here's what I have for you. Address peer pressure immediately. Address in your own life media influences and what you believe is right reality versus what is not reality. And address your own identity in Christ. Because tick face or Usenap or whatever those things are called out there that y'all use, that's not reality, okay? For singles who are here, be patient. Take value in your season of waiting. What lessons is God trying to teach you right now? What lessons have you learned in the past that you need to maybe either remind yourself of or pray about? For couples, are you pursuing your marriage well, or are you playing with fire? So if you're in a courting relationship, are you building your relationship on God's word, or are you just enjoying one another's company? Are you playing house, or are you playing for keeps? So in closing, the ultimate relationship that we were created for is not one with a spouse. The ultimate relationship that you were created for is one with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because one day, chances are, one of you will pass. And also, chances are, this one's 100%, one day you're going to pass. And the only relationship that is going to last in the current state that it is and then be accentuated throughout all of eternity is your relationship with Jesus Christ. And so focus on that and pursue Him. So before you can say I do to a person, you have to say I do to Jesus. So we're going to practice, okay? You don't have to say I do if this isn't you today. But I want to encourage you that if this is, that you would say I do. So you ready? We're gonna go through this, and I'm gonna say something, and if this is you, then you can say I do, okay? And then what's gonna happen is if you say that, the people who are next to you are gonna hold you accountable because they love you. Okay? Here we go. Do you recognize your sin before holy God?
I do.
Do you agree that you are in need of a Savior? Do you believe that Jesus is the Holy Son of God who came to take away the sin of the world? Do you accept Him not only as your personal Savior, but as the Lord of your life? All right, I now pronounce you saved by the blood of the Lamb, and He is your head, and you get to be His bride, and so forever and ever you get to enjoy that marriage relationship, and one day there's going to be a marriage feast, and so I would just encourage you, pursue your spouse. If that's you, you're married to Christ Jesus. He is the head, and we are the body, so I pronounce you husband and wife. Yeah. Woo! Amen, right. Yay. That's it. That's your new identity. You even get to take his name, right? How cool is that? So as we close, let's pray. And now we'll have, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. We're going to have a song of praise. And then I've got a couple of announcements that I just want to cover. So after we're done singing, you can stand to sing if you want. Pop a squat again, and we'll cover a couple of those things, okay? God, our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Again, I am so thankful that you have given us this playbook that we can live our lives by. And so for all these who are gathered here today, or all who may listen to this in the future or be directed to this message, Lord, I pray that you would help us to follow these standards, that we would seek you first, Lord, that we would pursue purity, that we would court or date for the purpose of marrying, that we would put character over our chemistry with one another, that we would invite the community who love you into our relationship to speak into it, and that we would trust your timing, that you would do what you are going to do at your timing and that it's perfect. So God, help us to be wise, help us to be shrewd, help us to be holy in these areas. Help us to pursue you in your kingdom, that you might add all these other things to us. It's in your name we do pray. Amen.